All right, everybody. It's 9:20, so we can probably get started again if you can all return to your seats. I should also mention that this is kind of a strange structure, so Alexander is going to be our next speaker, and then we'll have our normally scheduled, we'll still take our normally scheduled break after his talk, so we'll come back together after Alexander's talk 15 minutes later. So I guess that'll be 9:50 is when we'll come back again. And I should also mention the other announcement that I forgot to make at the start is that immediately after the session at 11:05, we're going to be having our the business meeting for C7. So C7 and C1 are going to have a joint business meeting at 11:05 in room 101A, which is, I think, just next door. So it'll be very easy to get there if you want to go. Okay, great. So our next speaker comes from South Dakota State University. His name is Alexander Kenna, and he will be talking about silencing seed dormancy genes to mitigate risk of transgene flow to weedy rice.
This is your pointer. I'll show you how to do this.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My talk is on the surface silencing seed dormancy genes to mitigate risk of transgene flow to weedy rice. And I would like to thank the organizers for granting me this platform to share my research with others. Gene flow between transgenic crops and their sexually compatible forms is inevitable, provided there is a temporal and spatial overlap between these two. And the impact of this transgene flow depends on the nature of the trait being encoded by the transgene. So, for instance, for crop protection traits, you could have what others have described as the creation of super weeds, which could worsen weed problems. So if you have a transgenic plant and there is pollen transfer from the transgenic plant to the weed, you could have the transgene being introgressed into the weed population, and the weeds will now have the characteristics of the transgene and will not be difficult to control. In order to protect the usefulness of this transgenic technology and prolong or protect it, there is therefore an urgent need to develop complementary management strategies to curtail this problem. Two complementary approaches have been proposed, and the first is what is described as containment methods. And in the containment methods, the goal is to prevent the flow of pollen from the transgene to their sexually compatible forms like weeds. The problem with this is the assumption is pollen flow is in one direction only. However, if you prevent pollen from being transferred from the transgenic crop to the weed, you could have it in the reciprocal, and it could lead to the same consequences. And from this, you could realize that there will be leakages with this method alone. So others have proposed what they describe as mitigation approaches. And in the mitigation approaches, the goal is we anticipate that the transgene will eventually escape into the weedy forms or the wild forms. So what we can do is we can neutralize the fitness advantage the transgene will give to the hybrids carrying it in the weedy population. And we do this by tightly linking a mitigating factor or gene to the primary transgene. For instance, this is a herbicide resistance transgene, which is being linked to a gene that will cause dwarfism in individuals that will receive the transgene. And because they are tightly linked, any transfer of the transgene will go together with the mitigating factors, and any individual that receives the transgene, in effect, will be dwarfed by the mitigating gene. And by this, you'll be able to reduce their fitness in the population and hence their persistence in the field. The mitigating gene should have positive or deleterious effect in the weedy population, but it should have neutral effect in the cultivated crop. So based on these features, seed dormancy becomes an ideal candidate as a mitigating factor. If you consider weeds, seed dormancy is an adaptive trait which enhances the persistence of weeds in the environment. Weeds tend to exhibit strong seed dormancy. And when the seeds mature, they get incorporated into the soil seed bank. And because they exhibit strong dormancy, their germination gets distributed over time. And you have it in batches, and you don't have all the seeds germinating at a single episode for them to be treated by a single treatment. So what we can do is to, if you are able to silence these genes associated with this dormancy, we are able to cause increased germination, and with increased germination of the wheat seeds, we'll be able to kill them by single treatment, and this will ultimately also lead to reduced persistence of the wheat. So based on this, we are hypothesizing that if we link seed dormancy silencing factors with the primary transgene, you will be able to reduce the fitness of individuals that will carry the transgene, which will make the transgene containing genotypes less competitive in weedy populations. In our lab, we have been able to identify about 10 seed dormancy quantitative trait loci distributed on the 12 chromosomes of rice. Out of these 10, we've been able to clone 5 of these detected QTLs. And today's talk is going to be based on 3 of these QTLs. So in order to test our hypothesis, we should be able to design a tandem construct by linking a herpin RNA cassette targeting seed dormancy QTLs with a primary transgene BAR. This is a herbicide resistance transgene, which confers resistance to the glufosinate herbicide. And the targeted seed dormancy QTLs are seed dormancy QTL on chromosome 7 and seed dormancy QTL on chromosome 2, also on chromosome 7, and a major QTL on chromosome 12. Upon cloning, we realized that this SD7-1 on chromosome 7 encodes a basic helix transcription factor, and this QTL was shown to be to have pleiotropic effect on ABA biosynthesis and also on pericarp color in red rice. The 7-2, also on chromosome 7, upon cloning, we realized that it encodes a protein kinase, and this protein kinase was shown to phosphorylate Adela protein, which impedes GA signaling during germination. Then SD12 encodes a basic helix loop helix transcription factor, and it's also expressed in developing embryos. Then the next stage is for us to evaluate the silencing effects of our built-in transgenic mitigation constructs on seed dormancy in different generations. So as a proof of concept, we started by targeting just a single locus of a seed dormancy on chromosome 7. And we did this by first constructing our TM construct. And we did this by amplifying about 270 base pairs of the cDNA of this gene, QTL. Then through topo cloning, we were able to ligate the amplified portion of this gene in on an entry clone. Then we ligated this into a panda vector, which was developed by these authors. And based on LR clonase reaction, we were able to produce an inverted repeat sequence of our trigger sequence. And we believe that upon transcription of this inverted repeat sequence, we will be able to produce double-stranded RNA, which will trigger the RNA silencing pathway in the plants to silence this seed dormancy QTL. Based on agrobacterium transformation, we were able to transform the Nippon Berra cultivar, and we produced 7 transgenic events. And these transgenic plants were similar to the original Nippon Berra cultivar, except in their resistance to the glufosinate herbicide. So we did a leaf application, and we found the transgenic plant to be resistant as expected, but the original parent without the transgene construct was susceptible. Then we also had an isogenic line which had only seed dormancy enhancing QTL from SD7-1 on it, and it also showed susceptibility. We did a leaf whole plant application, and the result was consistent with the leaf application. Then, as expected, this seed dormancy it also causes red pericarp color. So this isogenic line, as you can see, is exhibiting red pericarp color compared to the transgenic plant and the original Dipumbera parent. So we are interested among these transgenic plants, individuals that carry single copy of the transgene. So we did a southern blotting, and we identified this transgenic plant number 4, and to show that it has a single copy of the transgene, we self-aid to a T1 generation, and the phenotypic ratio was a 3:1 for herbicide resistance and herbicide susceptibility. Then we cross this transgenic plant to the isogenic line in a way to mimic transgene flow in the field. And this is hemizygous for the transgene, this transgenic plant. So we produce a Bacross 1-like population, which segregated into a herbicide-resistant F1 group and herbicide-susceptible F1 group. Then we solve these two groups to the F2. Then in terms of phenotype, you could see that the herbicide resistance group, they have the red pericarp color almost gone because of the silencing of the seed dormancy gene, compared to the herbicide susceptible group, because these individuals lack the transgenic construct on the RNI factor associated with it. Then we decided to test the germination rate between these two groups to see if this silencing of the locus is actually being reflected in their germinability. And we found that the herbicide resistance triangle exhibited or showed high germination rate compared to the herbicide susceptible group. Then we followed this also in the F2, and it's also the results we found was consistent with what we observed in the F1, and the herbicide-resistant group showed high germination, you could see the distribution, compared to that of the herbicide-susceptible group. Then, after proving the concept, we decided to maximize the silencing effect by targeting two seed dormancy QTLs at the same time. So we added the QTL on chromosome 12 to that of the original one, and following the same steps, the additional thing we did here was that we crossed a transgenic plant carrying a single copy of the transgene to a real weedy plant, LD, from China. Then we decided to also look at the effect of the silencing effect, silencing on the allele frequencies among the different episodes of germination that we can obtain in our F2. So we sowed about 3,000 seeds from this group of F2 seeds in the greenhouse, and we monitored the different germination episodes. Then the first batch of germinated seeds that came, sprouted, they were transferred, and we extracted DNA, and we did marker genotyping using markers associated with these two targeted seed dormancy QTLs. And what we found was that among the first episode of germinated seeds, we realized that there was segregation distortion in the frequency of the phenotype for herbicide resistance and herbicide susceptible. This was expected because if our silencing is working, we expect that the first batch of germinated seeds will contain high levels of our herbicide resistant group compared to the susceptible group. Then we did the marker genotyping for these two loci, and you could see among the early germinated ones, comparing the herbicide-resistant group to the herbicide-susceptible group, you could see there was a significant segregation distortion among these groups because they lack the transgenic mitigation factor to cause the silencing of the seed dormancy. So the individuals that germinated early were genotypes that carried dormancy-decreasing alleles. But compared to the herbicide-resistant group, you could see there was no distortion, there was no significant difference among the two allele frequencies. This also proved that our silencing effect targeting 2C dormancy genes was working. The same trend was observed for the other seed dormancy QTL on chromosome 12. Then we went further to test three seed dormancy genes at the same time, and following the same process, in the F2, when we compare the two F1 groups for the two phenotypes, after 90 days of after ripening, we observed significant difference in their germination rate between the two groups, which also proved that the silencing effect is working. So in summary, we've been able to test the transgenic mitigation factor using seed dormancy as a mitigation gene in a rice-ready rice model, and our built-in construct reduced the degree of dormancy of individuals carrying the transgene, thereby reducing their persistence. And the built-in construct also appeared to be stable across different generations, and this proves that the possibility of us maximizing mitigation effect by targeting multiple seed dormancy genes. And our next stage is to do actual field evaluation of this research. I would like to thank my advisor, graduate advisor Dr. Gu, and my lab mates, and Dr. Yi. He was a postdoc in our lab who helped with the actual design of the vectors and other stuff, the funding agencies. Thank you.
Questions?
In the U.S. at this time, no. But in other places, yes. In the U.S., what they grow is not actually a transgenic plant. It was obtained a herbicide-resistant rice variety, but it was obtained through mutation, and it could also cause the same consequences as if it was a transgenic plant.
Anyone else?
And I would also like to add that we were not specifically designing or targeting, designing a control strategy specifically for rice. We used the rice as a model, so if it works, we could extend it to other crops, which we like cotton and yeah.
Thank you once again.